what to talk about this week.
I don't know, anything exciting going on with either of you two?
Everything's pretty status quo over here.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, I have something that I could probably bring up and probably should bring up. Eric, Susan, listeners at home, it's not you, it's me.
Excuse me?
Are you breaking up with us?
Okay, you did not think that we were going to just like stop talking about that.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this, Dave.
We have to talk about sponsors.
This is the first time a guy has told me that, by the way.
It's
like George Costanza. I invented it's not you. So what are we going at here, Dave?
What are you trying to tell us, Dave?
Well, let's talk after we mention our sponsors.
Okay, fine.
Oh, boy. Oh, see.
He's just dragging it out.
That's a tease. That's a tease. That's good. Yeah. That's fine, though. The Wisconsin Counties Association brings you the cabin, and this week we're featuring Fond du Lac County. Fond du Lac being French for bottom of the lake or the lower end of the lake, which makes sense because it's perched
of the lake.
Or the foot of the lake, which, well, foot is a pied, but you know. But it's perched at the southern end of Lake Winnebago. Lakeside Park, a beautiful spot in the city of Fond du Lac to look at the lake, and there's a lot of great events there. There's about 100,000 people, a little over 100,000 people in Fond du Lac County. Fond du Lac, the city, of course, the county seat. Known for a number of things, including a Miracle Mile section downtown where a lot of people who bought lottery tickets there have hit the jackpot over the years. So there's a bit of a lucky streak in the downtown area, which Fond du Lac has a beautiful downtown with a lot of great old buildings. Other places in Fond du Lac County include Ripon, home to Ripon College, the historically Ripon Good Cookies, some of Josh Osterman's favorite places to eat and drink, birthplace of the Republican Party with the Little White Schoolhouse and everything. It's also home to Rosendale, which every road tripper knows very well.
Oh, yeah.
You slow down to the speed limit in Rosendale.
I drive it every 2 weeks way here.
Not a mile over.
And it gives me anxiety every single time.
We're 23 and 26 cross. You better hit that speed limit 30 and keep that needle right there.
Yep.
One of the oldest radio stations in the state and really the country is out of Fond du Lac. KFIZ, most call letters in radio are W's here because we're east of the Mississippi River. KFIZ was established in 1922, so it's so old they didn't have that rule yet.
Wow.
So it's kind of an unusual set of call letters. The radio geek in me loves that.
Yeah.
As my voice cracks because I'm perpetually 12 years old. And if you've ever visited the Holy Land region, it's a beautiful area full of churches and beautiful hills and steeples, and that is in the northeast corner of Fond du Lac County, which is part of the Niagara Escarpment, a beautiful place to visit. So check it out.
Very nice.
Love it.
The cabin is also presented by our friends at WCA Group Health Trust, a trusted health benefit partner that assists Wisconsin counties, municipalities, and school districts throughout Wisconsin. And this month, April, they're reminding our listeners that it is National Stress Awareness Month. Now, obviously, this isn't something that you should only be paying attention to 1 month a year, but we're calling extra attention to it this month. Stress can affect your physical and your mental well-being. A few tips that they had to reduce stress is, number one, exercise gets all kinds of good hormones like cortisol, endorphins, pumping through your brain, triggering a happy feeling and making you feel more at peace after a good workout.
The runner's high.
Reducing caffeine intake is something that I should definitely pay attention to. And even though we just released our top coffee shops podcast recently, you know, it's important to keep track of those things for your health and well-being. Some of your favorite stress-relieving habits? What do you guys got?
The ones I can talk about? Let's see. Well, for me, it's sleeping in. That's a good stress reliever.
Yeah.
Once in a while when you can. I know when you have kids, it's darn near impossible. But one day, like a Sunday or something like mm-hmm. that, just a nice sleep in, or for at least an hour after you wake up, you don't have to go anywhere.
Easy. That like is a stress. Sunday morning.
Oh yeah, good song. And actually, Commodore's songs are a good stress reliever too. Even Brickhouse.
Oh my goodness! I feel very personally attacked by this entire ad read. Honestly, I'm a really big person into meditation and journaling and just trying to. I love a really good guided meditation. I try to go for as long as I possibly can without, like, you know, someone talking to me in my ear, but just like focusing on your breathing and breath
ironic
work.
As we sit in this room and talk, and
you know,
do a podcast.
Just a wee bit of irony.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I do some of the mindfulness meditation as well. I got to get into yoga more as I'm realizing that age just quickly breaks down your back. But also, I would say fishing, being on a river.
Just gonna ask about that.
That's very meditative.
Yeah. Not putting headphones in, just listening to the world around me is. Mm-hmm.
What do they say? Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll sit in a boat and drink beer all day.
Yep.
And that lowers stress.
And he will be so much more relaxed.
Unless he gets skunked. Anyway, your health is important so that you can get out and enjoy Wisconsin. You can find more wellness tips at WCAGHT.org. WCA Group Health Trust, your partner in health.
Now tell us what's going on before we light this campfire.
Please.
Yeah, so this is going to be my last-ish episode with the cabin. I'm moving on from my salaried position here at Discovered Media Works onto the frightening but exciting world of independent contracting, freelancing.
And the world of breaking all of our hearts, Dave.
I have had a very good run here at Discover Media Works over 5 years and learned a lot here. I think seeing the cabin go from an idea to make a podcast and not knowing what that would look like to seeing it grow up into what it's become has been a tremendously rewarding part of my job here. So it's going to be tough to leave behind, but you got to do what's right for your family and for my professional development. So yeah.
Well, can't fault people for going off on their own and launching their own business. I preach that all the time, so I can't criticize.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and two things to that, Dave. Number one, please share with us, what is this new business venture of yours? What is it called if people want us to look you up later?
Yeah, this is a good place for a plug, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if anyone else wants me to work on their podcast or any other audio needs, you can look up Springhouse Audio. That's me. Or just find me on Instagram or LinkedIn or something.
Under Audio Dave? Yeah.
Yeah.
Janus.
Dave J-A-N-U-S.
Remember that Dave has a real name. He's not just Audio Dave.
Yes.
Yes.
However, Audio Dave, you are well known for your association with a special place in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know where that is now, right?
Yes, we do. And we may or may not have orchestrated a very special episode and to commemorate your last full show with us, Dave.
I am very excited. Can we jump into it?
Let's do it. Oh, man.
Such a nice warm fire.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should have had that sweetly sad violin. for this one instead.
I think I still have the piano music that we
from,
used
from when Mariah.
From Mariah.
Yeah.
Can you cue that up? There it is.
But this is not a time for being sad. I'm so excited about this episode.
We are so thrilled. Before you leave us, Audio Dave, you know I had to do an episode for you where we did a deep dive for our future mayor of Blanchardville, Audio Dave. So we had to bring on two guests from Blanchardville who could absolutely speak to the beauty and the kind of the mysticism of the town.
Yeah.
I think the way that you've like portrayed it. So we do have two wonderful guests, Paul and Chris, with us today, who are both, Paul, you are a fifth generation, is it Blanchardville?
Blanchardvillian.
Blanchardvillian? Is that it?
Blanchardvillian, yeah.
Blanchardvillian. Okay.
Five generations. My great-great-grandfather moved here.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And by the way, I have to correct that Dave would be the president of Blanchardville.
Oh.
Unfortunately, we do not have a mayor. We have a village board president. So we're inviting you to move down as our greatest fan.
I mean, I'm quite all right with the title of president.
The president of Blanchardville.
Do all you right. guys offer keys to villages?
That's a big question.
We will have one when we get you to come down to Blanchardville.
All right.
Yes.
Talk about custom. I love it.
When this happens, Dave, I still need all the pictures. We still need evidence of this day. Oh, my goodness. And Chris, you are, as I understand it, you are a bit newer to the area than Paul.
Well, I've been here 20 years, so that makes me a newcomer.
In a town like Blanchardville, I could see that. So we are so excited to have both of you on here today to talk about Dave's favorite corner of Wisconsin. It's your own hidden gem, is the whole town of Wisconsin.
It really is. It's so funny because this whole Blanchardville thing kind of started as like a running bit that because we were talking in episode, 10?
Oh, this goes way back. Yeah. And that was just because of recreation.
Yeah, right? It was. I think we were talking about our favorite small towns, and I was like, I have the perfect small town for you. And it just kind of, I got associated with my love for Blanchardville, and it just fills my heart that we're here spending a whole episode on it right now.
We had to.
And so, our hearts are filled also.
Well, actually, it was also great. I have to say, I reached out at some point to the village of Blanchardville to have someone. And I had never gotten a response to the email I sent. But Paul, you actually just emailed like info at Discover Wisconsin and with the subject line, I need to connect with Dave Janis. So that's partially how this all came about, which was so great because obviously your love for Blanchardville reached its residents. So we are so excited. Let's start from the top. We're doing a Wisconsin deep dive. So, Paul, can you do us a favor and kind of just give us a brief history and a brief overview of Blanchardville? Like, for example, if someone's maybe newer to the podcast, doesn't know of Dave's love, where is it? How big is it? Give us a brief overview and a history.
Well, to begin with, we are just south of Mount Horeb. So a lot of our residents work in Madison and a lot of other places. So we're just 15 miles or so south of Mount Horeb. Beautiful drive. I can be on the west side of Madison in half an hour, 45 minutes, no problem. Once you get to know the little country roads to take.
He has a lead foot, though.
Oh, no, that's not true. Any police officers listening, please don't watch for my bald head.
Those are some windy roads, so you must really know every single turn.
They are, but it's once you get adjusted to knowing all the turns and the best roads to take, it's not too bad. So the area was, I believe it was first settled by the Mormons. And due to some kind of political things that happened within the Mormon church, a lot of the Mormons left our area and moved on. And we believe around 1856 was when Alvin Blanchard, who was an entrepreneur, got the town formed. He bought the mill. I believe that the Mormons owned the mill. Around 1855, he bought the mill. And so it was the river and the mill that attracted folks to the area, the beautiful valley that we are in. And Alvin took over the mill. He was already buying wheat and grinding it, having it ground. So I think he was now doing it himself after he bought the mill. And he was just a great entrepreneur, found a lot of ways to do a lot of things. And still to this day, I think there's a very entrepreneurial spirit here in the village. Chris came in and she created a business, transformed that business multiple times. I thought I knew what my career was when I started, but I really have realized recently in the last 10 years that I am more of an entrepreneur than anything because I have branched out into multiple businesses that operate really successfully from our little town.
And if I can jump in with some of the history, just some of the stuff that I looked up getting ready for this episode, when the Mormons first settled the area, it was called a different name, right? It was called Zarahemla.
I'm not sure on the pronunciation.
Yeah.
But that's as good as I can imagine.
Yeah.
We're going to go with you on that.
Yes.
Well done.
And I'm not sure what the Book of Mormon says about that, but it was kind of like a promised land for the Mormons. And when I saw that, it made so much sense to me because what always attracted me to Blanchardville was driving from Madison towards Yellowstone Lake State Park. there's this feeling that you get when you drive in on, what is it, Oak Street, Highway 78, mm-hmm. and your first introduction to the village is you round this corner, and in front of you is this beautiful Pecatonica River and this great community park that you guys have, and it is just immediately from that first vision just a community-centric place. And then you kind of drive through and you go through the main road, and as you're, I think, what is it, School Road, you take a
School
right
street, yeah.
Yeah, and go uphill, and you turn back and get another great view of the village as you go uphill through the trees. And it's just, there's something about, like you said, the valley that is just striking to me.
Well, when you come back from Yellowstone, you're curving down a hill and you can literally see the whole village mm-hmm. because we're in a valley. So half the village is on a hill in one direction. Then there's the river. And then the other half is on the hill that's facing that side. So you can see the whole thing. And in the mornings, often it's misty here. Mm. And it's really like a magical sort of fairy tale kids book version of a main street.
Yeah.
Two blocks long and all heaven.
And the park and the river are often filled with amazing mist in the morning. Mm. And if you can be lucky enough to be there when the sun is just coming up over that mist, on those days, it is amazing.
We should mention there is a campground in that misty park.
Yes, there is.
Quite lovely.
The wonderful village down there.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about, you have some campers as well. Will you talk about Circle M for us?
Sure. So Circle M Farm is just outside of town on H, which is toward New Glarus. So Paul mentioned our proximity to Mount Horeb, which is important. But I think for many people, mm-hmm. a more important landmark is that we're also about 10 minutes from New Glarus Brewery, mm-hmm. which is its own kind of mecca, you might say. So we live toward that direction. We're just outside of town, and we started as a vegetable, organic vegetable operation, became a farm-to-table breakfast operation, and then we morphed into a bed and breakfast as our kids left. But it was so popular, we started adding these vintage campers that we restored. And so we're like a glamp ground. If you come to Circle M, you can do a glamp out with us. We have these glamper campers that are all decorated per the decade that they're from, so 50s and 60s. And it's a working farm, so there's sheep and dogs and cats and lots of mud and messes. And so, you know, we have two young guests, a family with two kids there right now, and they've been in the mud puddles playing with our big old Pyrenees dogs all morning. So now they're hairy and muddy and messy, and that's just how we like it.
And then Chris and I have worked together to figure out how to bring people to the village quite a bit. I also am operating the Eliza House Airbnb, which is connected to the Blanchard history. It's the son of Elvin Blanchard. And then we have quite a few more Airbnbs in the area that have been pretty successful in bringing folks in.
We have one on a hog farm.
Yes.
Wow.
So you can... We have one above a haunted bar.
Yes.
So we have a lot of really cool nooks and crannies in Blanchardville and outside of Blanchardville. And like Paul was mentioning, we all have a lot of side hustles, a lot of entrepreneurial exploits. And if you spend any time at the bars, you will learn a lot of cool stories about the things happening here.
Cool.
Nooks and crannies.
So when you come around that corner, like you spoke of, and see the village for the first time, there's a big historic brick home on the corner, and that is the Eliza House.
Oh, okay.
And some people might be interested that was formerly a funeral home.
Oh, I'm so glad Paul mentioned that. Because it's really cool. We have so much cool history. And, you know, for those who want to explore the dark side, you might just discover something here in Blanchardville.
And the old mill... I think I talked about on the podcast the first time we talked about this, the old mill, that brick building kind of on your way into town, that is your village like historical museum now?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That transitioned at some point from being a mill for grinding to grinding flour and so forth into a electric generating mill that was owned by Wisconsin Power and Light. And at some time that was abandoned and turned over to the village. and the village turned it into a library. So when I was a child, that building was our village library, and I spent a lot of time there as a child. Then the village built a new, much nicer, spacious library as part of the village hall complex and fire department. So then at that time, they turned it into the Historical Society. And then just a couple years ago, a donor made a very substantial donation, which allowed them to make a large addition, probably doubling the size of the Historical Society.
Oh, wow.
So it's and they did a nice job of adding to it. So it still looks really cute.
Dave, have you fished back there behind the Historical Society building? Because there's a dam still there.
Yeah.
And there are rocks. You can go under the bridge and kind of like hang out. My grandson loves playing, you know, naked there under the bridge in the water.
No, I haven't been. It's unfortunately all of my visits to Blanchardville have just been to and from Yellowstone Lake. I haven't made it a destination and gotten some proper time to hang out there, but I definitely am interested.
Well, you'll have some of that time now.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Just getting into spring, you know, leaves are greening up.
So I don't know what kind of fishing you like to do, Dave. I don't know what you like to fish for, but it's the Pecatonica River, but we also have a trout stream that feeds into it just east of town. So if you go to the point, as we call it, which is where that Gordon Creek goes into the Peck, you can catch everything.
Okay.
I mean, anything you would catch in a river and anything you would catch in a trout stream, they're all there. And, you know, they're just waiting for you to stop.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in doing some trout fishing. That's a good tip to know that I shouldn't be in the Pecatonica, but I should be in Gordon Creek for that.
So, well, I do have, I mean, this might sound like a silly question because obviously you're both of, all three of you, not both of you, all three of you, your love for Blanchardville is so evident, but do you have a favorite aspect to the town or the fact that you both get to live in the village?
Well, I'm incredibly lucky. I get to do most of my work right here in town. So I am sometimes I commute a little bit, but not much. I'd say just the setting along the river, the valley. It's just an idyllic spot, small town America. Mm-hmm. Really a slow pace, a beautiful environment, lots of little spots to enjoy. It's an exciting place to live. Wonderful, relaxing place to live.
So yeah, you're a village of about, what, 800 people, right?
The sign says 800. We have a pretty good rural population also, but the village itself.
No, that's nice. I mean, and the drive-through is really nice because you kind of bend around, you cross the Pecatonica, you talk about the nooks and crannies. You're kind of like the English muffin of Wisconsin. You know, warm, cozy, full of nooks and crannies.
I love that.
See, put that on the new like welcome to town sign.
I was thinking more like Brigadoon.
Oh, a Brigadoon vibe. That's
That works too.
That's a really nice picture. Yeah,
because it's super misty. I mean, it's hard to describe how pretty the Driftless is. We're right on the edge of the Driftless, but if you haven't driven through it, especially in the fall or in the spring, it's just so misty and magical. When it greens up, it's like a jewel. And you know, when the sun comes up, there's all kinds of prairies and fields, and it's just glittering and beautiful and really something. I do have a little bit of Main Street envy, though, because I live out in the country and I can walk to town, but I don't get to wake up and have all the, you know, small town noises. We have a coffee shop and an ice cream shop and the Viking Cafe and three bars that serve food all times of day. But I really do love the country setting. We have birds when we wake up, and the sandhill cranes are coming in now. Mm. And sometimes there's 40 deer running through our back, 20. But Main Street is really, it's really special. It's like what you imagine a Main Street used to be like. It's really something.
You guys describe it like it's the scene from Beauty and the Beast when Belle is like walking out in the morning and everyone, that's how it's like being described, and that's the only thing I can see in my head is people like opening their windows to scream good morning.
It's kind of like that. My husband jokes if I go to mail a letter at the post office, it's like a 2-hour trip because you meet so many people you have to visit with.
I love that.
You know, and then there's also, you know, coffee and ice cream. That takes a little bit of time.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, we have an excellent new coffee shop and ice cream shop, which everyone in the village is really enjoying.
Mm.
That's awesome.
What's it called?
Peck's Perks.
Peck's Perks. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. And what one thing that we note in Blanchardville is we kind of have everything we need. We have a gas station that has some food and tables. We have a bank. We have a grocery store. We have a coffee shop. We have four bars, one cafe. We have ball fields where there's hometown talent. So you can watch kids play or you can watch adults play.
Great hardware store that has camping and fishing supplies and all the basics of hardware that you need. So they've been a great asset.
An antique shop that you can browse through. My guests loved it. They have those bags of toys for a dollar. You know, a bunch of old toys in a bag. That kids love that. And we have two hair salons.
Yep.
It's wild to have everything you need.
Yeah.
And I think another thing is we all the business community in Blanchardville realizes we're all in this together. Chris and I both, through our businesses, are working hard to benefit the other people in town. Like here at Blanchard Hall, we recently had a wedding for an attorney from Madison and his wife. They came down, loved the small town experience for their wedding. And I think they benefited a lot of the businesses in town. Years ago, my family was in the furniture business, and we had a very unique business where we brought a lot of people from Madison down to Blanchardville to buy substantial amounts of furniture. And those people were also eating in the restaurants and visiting another shop or two while they were here. So, you know, Chris and I know Chris is doing the same thing, always trying to benefit the other people in town. That was a big part of our investment here from Blanchard Hall, creating this event center that we hope that we will continue to bring in people from out of town who will visit the bars, who will visit the grocery store for last minute supplies and so forth.
Well, it's certainly good for people to and from Yellowstone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of the other recreational places. So, yeah, I mean, people sometimes, you know, they go to the big box places in Madison or whatever and, you know, go to the towns. They've got what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. But the other thing that I love about what you just said is, like, that mindset to understand that if one person is benefiting, then everyone is benefiting. And the idea that you're all in this together is, like, the most wholesome Wisconsin small town vibe that we can have. So it's just, that's so special. And I just want to ask, I think probably, and I'm going to ask it to all three of you, but you're going to go last, Dave.
Okay.
Which is going to be, if someone was visiting Blanchardville for the very first time and you were so excited to show them the town, what would be the first place that you would take them that would just encapsulate the village?
There is an amazing spot right next to the Methodist Church, which overlooks the downtown. There's even a bench there that somebody donated. Is a place where you can see the whole downtown. And it's just a magical spot. You have framing of trees on each side. You have a full view of the dam, and you have a lovely view of the whole downtown. And that is probably one of the best spots in town. I'll let Chris go. I don't want to steal anything.
Well, piggybacking on that, we have a Facebook page for our chamber sort of organization, which is businesses and volunteers meet every other week to talk about community events. And that's called Blanchardville Community Pride. And we have a painting of that view that's our Facebook cover. And it was painted by a graduate of Pecatonica High School. And it just shows, like, you don't believe it's real, but it is real. This is what our town really looks like. And it's so charming. And yeah, I think most of us who live here have a real deep appreciation for the Main Street, whether we live on it or have a business or not. It really is that and the school with the ball fields are what hold us all together. I think if I could pick one place, I would say go to one of the bars, because my guests love, I have vintage bikes at my bed and breakfast, and I send them into town on these bikes that you have to pedal backwards to break, you know, because I want to make sure that they can't stop. They got to go directly to a business downtown. And by the way, there's no locks. You just leave the bike out in front of the bar.
Nice.
And anyone who goes into one of our bars will be engaged in conversation. People know if you're not from here, right? So they'll ask you where you're from, and you can ask questions about where to go. You can get directions to Yellowstone or the canoe rentals. And I just think the bars and the restaurant, when you can sit and have people engage with you and tell you what they love about being here and ask questions about why you're here, that is what I always hear from guests, makes them feel so at home. And of course, they all have their favorite burgers at the different bars.
I've heard that from my guests also, that they have wandered into the bars, sat at the bar, eaten with their kids and family, and they've found it a really fun small town experience to wander into the bar.
Hmm. That's awesome. Dave, take us home.
Yeah, I was just looking up, and I think we might have the same place. I didn't realize the Methodist Church was right there, but the park that is on the opposite bank of the river from the mill,
yep.
There's this great little spot that every time I drive in, I'm like, I would just love to have a picnic there and like kind of look across the river at the mill and down Main Street. I think that's my number one spot.
Well, you can park right there and have a picnic, but then there's some pretty steep steps that go right up from that park to the Methodist Church. And then you can look down and take a selfie, but you hold on.
Yeah. Cool.
That's awesome. Well, Paul and Chris, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. I think this was quite the glowing endorsement and advertisement for Blanchardville, because now all I'm picturing is like Beauty and the Beast scenes and like birds
singing. I'm telling you,
singing.
It's perfection over there.
So if this did not inspire someone to go visit Blanchardville, I don't know what would. So
yeah. And this is our first deep dive, and we've done Milwaukee and Manhattan. Yeah. This is our first deep dive into a smaller town.
And it was perfection.
And there's a lot to talk about.
So thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for bringing this first small town concentration to Blanchardville. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks for leading the way.
Well, it was great talking to you guys. Take care.
Your village president will be down soon.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, we've talked so much about a lovely small town.
My life is complete.
Driftless area. It's awesome, right?
No, I think your life will finish being complete when they make a brand new key to the city.
When
you become president.
I've never heard of a key to the village, but I wonder what they use.
Why not? Do. Why not?
Interesting.
Oh, that is going to go right in the middle of my wall at home.
Oh, my goodness. But moving from our small town, where are we shifting our focus,
Eric? Well, we're going to another small town, but it's a big draw for people from all around the country.
Town?
Well, it's the town itself isn't that huge. It's less than, maybe it's 10,000, but it's not a big city.
No.
And we're talking about Lake Geneva here, mm-hmm. which is big in terms of visitor appeal, not just for people around Wisconsin and Chicago, but people come from all over the country and some destinations out of the country to arrive in Lake Geneva and check out everything that the city offers and that the region around it offers. But with this being April and it's spring golf season, just about to get into full swing. In fact, the Masters are on this coming weekend. So that's kind of a nice kickoff for golf season. Lake Geneva is a great place to check out golfing. You've got Grand Geneva Resort, which has the Brute, which is one of the best in the Midwest. The Highlands, which is a Scottish Lynx style course. Feel free to wear your kilt. And of course, at Grand Geneva, there's tons of other amenities, an adventure center, spa, fantastic dining, and of course, the cool history of the Playboy Club and more. Love Grand Geneva Resort. Geneva National Resort and Club on the other side. That's where they have the ice castles over the winter. 54 total holes, three courses, designed by three golf legends, Arnold Palmer, who also has a great drink, Lee Trevino, and Gary Player, and that's over on Lake Como. But some other places, too. Majestic Oaks at Lake Lawn Resort. That's 18 holes amid 250-plus tree-lined acres. That's along Delavan Lake. And then the amazing views of the lake and the hills and everything make it such a fantastic day. You can also check out Evergreen Country Club, not as well known by a lot of people, but it's rated 4 stars by Golf Digest and is the Geneva Lake area's most affordable golf course, 27 holes, and it was recently voted the best public golf course in the country.
Hmm.
So that's a big deal.
It's very
and then
exciting.
Hawksview is another one. There are two courses there, an 18-hole championship course and a par 3 executive course. Great restaurant in that clubhouse. That's right off 120. And then Abbey Springs, which is on the southwest shores of Geneva Lake by the Abbey Resort. They have amazing views as well. 18 holes of golf, rolling slopes, wooded hillsides, all kinds of great stuff. Visit lakegeneva.com. You can go under things to do. There's golf courses right there to find out more.
We love Lake Geneva. Okay, now the last couple episodes, especially since we've had some like fun facts and all the things about how to become like a actual master cheese maker in Wisconsin. I was able to sit down with the owner of Wisconsin Cheese Masters in my hometown of Egg Harbor. So I'm really excited that everyone gets to actually hear a little bit more in depth from the actual cheese experts and not just listen to me chat about it. And also to talk about their Adopt a Cow, Save a Farmer program. So sit back and enjoy this quick interview with Jim from the Wisconsin Cheese Masters. All right, cabin listeners, we have a special treat for you today. We are joined by Jim from the Wisconsin Cheese Masters right up in my hometown of Egg Harbor, Wisconsin. Jim, welcome to the cabin.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so first things first, let's do a quick overview. What is the Wisconsin Cheese Masters? I'm excited. I'm in your storefront right now, which is full of different cheeses from, it looks like, from all over the state, correct?
We only sell Wisconsin cheese. Everything's made in the state. We have about 60 varieties. We deal with probably 25 different cheesemakers through from across the state. So we sell everything from cheddar to Gouda to Buttucheese and a lot of varieties in between.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to say, it looks like such a beautiful array downstairs. Can you give us an overview of why you wanted this storefront here that's only selling Wisconsin cheese and why you also chose to set this up right here in Egg Harbor?
Well, I actually discovered Wisconsin cheese very late in life, having been a lifelong Wisconsin resident. I didn't realize that Wisconsin made good cheeses. I thought they made the commodity cheeses that are still good and useful, but I did not realize that artisan and master cheeses were made in Wisconsin. Discovered that back in 2008. And couldn't find the world champion cheeses that I'd seen at cheese factories in the state and in the stores in Milwaukee, where I was from at the time. Decided to start an online business. And a couple of years later, I got a call out of the blue from the winery next door and asked if I wanted to use their building to sell cheese. And I thought it made a perfect synergistic relationship with wine next to cheese.
That is a perfect relationship, honestly. You can't do a better combo than wine and cheese. Now, I have to ask you about this pretty new program. It's only in its third year that you started, called Adopt a Cow, Save a Farmer. So you got to tell us all about that.
Well, Wisconsin dairy farms are 95% run by families. My family has dairy farming in their background as well. I think almost everybody that lives in Wisconsin probably has a dairy farmer somewhere that they know or are related to. And they have been in a serious decline over the last 20 or 30 years. In fact, for the last several years, a dairy farm, family-owned dairy farm in Wisconsin, has closed every day of the year. So when we started this business, there were over 15,000 dairy farms in Wisconsin that were family-owned. Today, there are only about 6,800 left. One closes a day, as I said, and 95% of the farms in Wisconsin are family-owned. 90% of their milk goes into production of cheese, so the best way to support a Wisconsin dairy farm is to buy cheese, because there are about 10 pounds of milk in every pound of cheese. So we came up with the idea of adopting a cow to save a dairy farmer. And the reason we came up with the adopt a single cow is that your shipments of Adopt-A-Cow cheese, that if you order online, include 6 pounds of cheese, which is what a cow can produce in a day. Well, they only produce the milk in a day, and then the cheesemakers produce the cheese. 60 pounds of milk converts it to 6 pounds of cheese, and we do adopt a cow in 2 shipments of 6 cheeses each for a total of 6 pounds. And we're doing that this year, the week before Easter and the week before Mother's Day. Total cost is $159. And in addition to that, $5 from each sale is going to the Wisconsin branch of Future Farmers of America.
That sounds like such a fantastic program and something so needed in Wisconsin. Like you said, I definitely did not realize that dairy farmers are closing at such a drastic rate. Jim, can you let our listeners know if they wanted to stop physically when they were in Door County, where can they visit you and where can they visit you again online?
So we are in Egg Harbor, Wisconsin. We're right on Highway 42. We're open 7 days a week all year long. And to visit us online, go to wisconsincheesemasters.com and you can find Adopt a Cow on the homepage there. Or you can go directly to that at wisconsincheesemasters.com/adopt.
Well, another sad week in that we don't have another review to read this week, but we did want to give everyone a shout out for really showing up and getting our teaser for the last episode, the 10 More Facts episode, so many views on social. We really appreciate everyone watching and sharing that online. And just from a personal note, I just wanted to thank all the listeners who have been along with us for the ride thus far. I meant everything that I said in our Valentine's little PSA episode. Yeah. We love you all very much. And just for me, I know being out from behind the scenes is not always the most comfortable thing for me, but the people who have reached out and tagged us on stuff on social has just made it such a rewarding thing to work on. And yeah, I'm going to miss you.
Well, and Dave, something you said to me during our pre-production meeting on Monday that we have behind the scenes to get ready for these big recording days. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's always, like you said, it's exciting and nerve-wracking to go out and start your own thing. But you said something that struck a chord with me, which is that you, at the end of the day, you're still very proud of what we were able to create here.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of listeners know, like, yeah, you've been here for like 5 years, and the cabin was something that, you know, specifically you and Mariah like came up with and really had to pitch and push to even have this podcast become a thing. And about 125 episodes later,
wow,
that you've had under your belt.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a very special thing. And I think it can never be understated, the fact that, yeah, this podcast is something to be very proud of, and we are going to miss you so, so much, Audio Dave, but we thank you for everything that you did to be with us for 125 episodes.
Aw.
Yeah, man.
This is more sad than I was prepared to be.
Where's the piano music?
Yeah,
you need to play the sad music. Remember when Mariah had her last show? Yeah, there we go. We don't like to be maudlin in this podcast, though. So.
You guys will be great, and I can't wait to see where the podcast goes from here.
Thanks, Dave.
More on our shoulders, Susan.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous about it. I don't want to talk about it quite yet.
You don't? All right, okay. That's fine.
Okay.
All right, well, just make sure you join us next week. We're going to be talking about Milwaukee stuff, because Milwaukee Day is coming up.
Yes.
And that's because Milwaukee's area code is 414. Mm-hmm. And just ahead of April 14th can give you cool little history and some cool nuggets about our largest city. So make sure you join us next week for that. And as we wrap it up here, a quick message from the All of Us Research Program, because the All of Us Research Program has a simple mission. They want to speed up medical breakthroughs. To do this, they're asking people across America to share their unique health information to create the largest, most diverse medical research program ever. The mission is an important one, because the more information researchers have, the faster they can create individualized prevention, precise treatment options, and better care for all of us. Together, let's make this mission achievable. Details at joinallofus.org/discoverWI.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by Eric Paulson, Dave Janis, and me, Susan Foch, with guest hosts of Paul Sather and Chris Marion. Produced by me and Audio Dave, with video teasers by Quinn Savnak and social media by me and Courtney Haas. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us that review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Bye, Dave.
Okay, bye.
In Wisconsin, we like to say we have two seasons, winter and road construction. But highway maintenance doesn't stop when the snow begins to fall, and Wisconsin has a unique way of keeping the roads clear.
The unique difference between Wisconsin winter maintenance and any other state is that in Wisconsin, the counties, the 72 counties, provide the winter maintenance for the state of Wisconsin.
Unlike any other state, our counties have a routine maintenance agreement with the Department of Transportation, which allows us to utilize the labor, equipment, and materials the county already possesses and put them to use in maintaining our state highway system.
It is the model that most states want to aspire to get to. It's just, how do you get to that model where you have a partnership like we do?
Because of this partnership, Wisconsin roads are cleared more efficiently and at a lower cost to taxpayers.
The winter weather does impact everybody's lives dramatically. So with this service model, we pride ourselves on our reaction time to make sure the employees in each county that are responsible for the state maintenance can get out very quickly and onto the highways to provide that plowing service as best as practical.
All 72 counties are in close communication to ensure all sections of our state roads are well maintained.
So really focusing on that challenge of making sure when the public is driving from county to county that we have a uniform level of service through that highway. Because if you're driving on a highway and you're going from one county to another, you don't want to have a road that's completely bare and treated well, and then the next section of road in another county is snow covered and icy.
But winter maintenance doesn't just include snow and ice removal. New technologies allow for the pre-treating of roads before storms.
We always challenge ourselves to provide more innovation and efficiencies in the services we provide.
And now you know you're Wisconsin.